Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
We are in Ephesians chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, or like me, you find that that 8-point font is getting a little bit smaller every time you open up that Bible, the scripture for this morning is also inside the bulletin in 14-point font, and so it makes it just a little bit easier for us to read. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be studying verses 11, 12, and 13 today. Amen. And again, Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, the psalmist says that your word is a lamp unto my feet. And so we thank you, Lord, that from your word we can get the direction that we need, the information, the wisdom, the insight, all that we need, Lord, to make the decisions to live godly lives, to live lives that are blessed by you. So now I pray, Father, that you will send your Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyes, Lord, so that we can understand everything that you have for us in your word this morning. Not that we'll only understand it, but you'll give us the boldness and the faith to embrace it and to claim it for ourselves, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we're going to be looking again at Ephesians chapter 2. And in verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul gives us our B.C. condition, our before Christ condition. And he says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. And so who's he talking to? He's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to the Gentile Christians who are living in the city of Ephesus. He's talking to most of us today. Almost everybody here is a Gentile. I don't know of maybe one or two people that are of Jewish heritage, but that Jewish heritage does you no good without the Messiah in your life anyhow. But as he's talking to the Gentiles, he's saying, remember that the Jews, those of the circumcision, used to call you, well, you're just uncircumcised heathen, Gentiles. And then in verse 12, that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And so first Paul starts off, you know, you talk about being bright and happy and, oh boy, Paul, what do you have to tell us today? And he starts off and he reminds us that we were cut off. We were outside the promise. We were outside the promise of Israel. We were strangers to God. We didn't know God. We didn't know what it was like to serve God. That we were, you know, complete strangers to the ways of God and strangers to the covenant of promise. Strangers to the fact that God had made a covenant, had a covenant relationship with a covenant people, Israel, but they had chosen to forsake that covenant relationship. And so now Israel finds itself in the same boat as the Gentiles, that they're both outside the covenants of promise. And then, just to really put the little cherry on top of the ice cream sundae, he said that we have no hope Gee, how's your day today? You have no hope. Amen? Not even a little bit of... No, it's not that you have not much hope. You have no hope. And so that is our BC, our before Christ experience. Having no hope and without God in this world. And I will tell you that I and my wife, just like everybody else here, have gone through good times in our lives, and we've gone through difficult times in our lives. And I don't know how we could have made it without Jesus. Amen? Amen? I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have some little hope out there that there was a God in heaven who was hearing my prayers, and that, as the Bible says, and it came to pass. You know, that's some of the most, that's the most exciting little passage of Scripture, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. What about the troubles that you're going through? And it came to pass. Amen. They're here for a while, but they pass. And so Paul is saying, having no hope and without God in the world. And that's how the majority of the world is today. No hope, no God. Oh, they might have a God that they've created in their imagination, a God that they have made out of wood and out of stone, out of, by the works of their own hands, but they're without hope and without the real God. I remember that one person was chiding the idol worshipers in India. Pastor Alexander was telling me that this one guy got in trouble because he used to be one of the guys that would carve the idols out of stone and out of wood. And he became a Christian. And he would turn around and laugh at his neighbors and say, oh, the joke is on you, because when I made those idols out of stone and out of wood, I didn't put a little hole in their ear, and so they couldn't hear you. And so they thought that was really funny. They took them outside and beat the fire out of them. So sometimes you need a little wisdom when to keep your mouth shut. But, I mean, you can have your little idols if you want to, but whether the idol maker has put a little hole in the ear or not, that little idol, that little piece of stone, can't hear your prayers. Amen? But there's a God in heaven who hears the cries of His people. Amen? But verse 13, you know, some people think that 13 is an unlucky number and they try to skip over, 13. Some buildings don't have a 13th floor in them, all right? But that's not how it is in God's Word. I thank God for verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now we have Jesus. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, and I like that Paul could have said, not just, you know, not even seen or known of by God. Because no matter what our spiritual condition is, God knows about us. But we had separated ourselves from God. And he says, so now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You now have a close relationship with God. You know, our daughter who lives with us, her husband and her children live with us in our home. And she is the president of the PTA at the local elementary school. And they had to get a new secretary. Something happened to the secretary and the secretary had to leave. And so this one lady whose children also attend that school said, well, I will be the secretary. And lo and behold, as it turns out, when the lady came up and Laura recognized her, that's our next door neighbor. Yeah. And so how handy is this? Now when Laura has PTA business that she has to conduct, she can just walk out the front door and go right next door and do this, you know, complete the business with the secretary who lives right next door. And you know, when we need God, we don't need to go to church. We don't need to go to some holy place in some other part of the world. All we have to do is cry out to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now we're living right next door to God. Now we have God in our hearts. Now we have a real relationship. And it's not just as a next door neighbor, but the Word of God says also, wherefore we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. We have a new relationship with God. A God who loves us. A God who is concerned about us. I can't imagine. A God who at one time can be hearing my prayers is also hearing all the petitions of all the other children that are crying out at the same time. But that's the relationship that we have. But it's important for us to remember that that relationship, although it's free for us, came at a price. We've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And this morning we celebrated the Lord's Supper, communion. Different faith groups, different denominations have different words for it. But it all means that Jesus had to bleed, suffer, and die for this relationship. Amen? Amen. Not of works of righteousness that we have done. It's not anything that we could do to deserve the saving grace and mercy of our God. But by His mercy, He has saved us. Amen. And so we who were once afar off, not because God said, "Ooh, you stink, get away from me," or whatever. You know, Tara and I have a little puppy that we're attempting to train. I'm trying to determine who is being trained here. Whether we are training the puppy or the puppy is training us. And so Terry the other day had the baby up in her bed. And she had made sure that the puppy had used the potty outside. And so now that the puppy is all, you know, hopefully everything that leaks is empty, you know, has it up in the bed, and the dog is just running and just being so cute, and then just runs down to the foot of the bed and urinates all over my down-filled comforter. So, of course, now I have to clean the comforter, and it's another 2:30 in the morning before I get back to bed. And needless to say, that little puppy who once was so near is now afar off. As it's been put back in its cage, and you can cry your little head off, you're not getting back in my bed for a long, long time. We're going to make sure you're potty trained before you get back in the bed. But you see, that's what the puppy did. He put himself away from us by his actions. We wanted him close. We wanted to enjoy his little presence and his little puppiness. You know, they're just puppies for so long, like kids. You know, they're cute when they're little, as long as they're not crying. And then they become teenagers. You know, then what do you do with them? All right. And so we wanted to enjoy the presence and the fellowship of this little puppy. But because of his actions, we had to put him back in his cage. You know, that's kind of how our relationship is with God. He wants to fellowship with us. He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. But it's our actions that separate us from God. and that we place ourselves like the little puppy back in our cage afar off. But because Jesus died for us, and at one time or another, each of us have come to the realization that, Father, I'm a sinner, and because I am a sinner, I deserve your judgment. But Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus was shed for me. And now I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to bring me into your family. And when we have made that relationship, then we have placed ourselves in the condition where now the Father can fellowship with us. Amen? Amen. It's our sin that separates us from God's fellowship. Not His meanness, but it's our meanness. Amen? Our disobedience. But when we confess our sins, as I've said already twice today, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we can have that fellowship. Then we can have that communion. Then we can be doing things together, and He's there in our lives. Amen? Something tells me that our little puppy is going to be the subject of many sermon illustrations in coming weeks. But amen. When we recognize all that God has done for us, He's the one that did all the work. All we have to do is reach out and accept that finished work of Jesus in our lives. And so I just encourage each of us now, as we've partaken of the communion, as we have celebrated what God has done for us, and the communion also serves as a reminder, because the Word of God says, this do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till I come. Until He comes. Amen? And so by partaking in the celebration of the Lord's Supper this morning, not only have we been spiritually strengthened to live the life so that we can be blessed by the Father, but we are also reminding ourselves every time we partake of communion that He's coming again. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Father God, I thank you for your
morning comes another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows where you choose to stand or fall. And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.